With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey. He's one of the MCSEs at Tab and comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Yeah, I was talking to my son about the Jets a little bit last night. And I was like, oh, look at that Teddy Bridgewater coming back. Kind of cool. Yeah, great. Oh, Dad, they got nobody to throw to. I'm like, oh, geez. So my sons are a little more up on this stuff than I am these days. Because as a Jet fan, you just don't even care anymore. You know, and running around in their jerseys and you're hoping they score occasionally. But I digress. Let's go on to a technology and why we're here. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And, Bob, you've got some news here. You were talking about security and the Obama administration back in 2012.
Well, that's a good one.
Yeah.
The Obama campaign used security keys in the 2012 election to prevent hacks.
Very smart.
It's a reason why that election had less cybersecurity issues.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a CNET article. Mm-hmm. As political campaigns in the 2018 midterm elections fight off hackers, they might want to look back at Barack Obama's campaign team and what it figured out 6 years ago.
Well, they were working. So they didn't really figure it out. They were working with Google. They had the main folks at Google on their election campaign, and Google uses these security keys that Bob is going to explain. So they didn't come up with it themselves. They've got smart people they work with.
And anybody that's doing anything like this, running a campaign, you got to get smart people around you.
Exactly. So
anyway,
go ahead.
President Obama's campaign in 2012 used YubiKeys.
Yes.
Which are security keys for protecting logins.
Now, these are physical keys, guys. This is the difference, and this is two-factor authentication that really is where everyone should go. So go ahead, Bob. Sorry for interrupting. I want to make sure you understood it was a physical key.
Well, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to educate here.
Yeah.
So anyway, which are security keys protecting logins as a defense against hackers, according to Yubico CEO and founder Stina, and I hope I can do this, Ehrensvard. I think that's...
Is it Norwegian?
I think so.
All right.
Ehrensvard, with the two dots above it, RD.
Sounds like a Viking to me.
Okay. The woman who tried after him did not, and you can see the results, Ehrensvard said in an interview at Black Hat.
Yes.
That Black Hat is a convention of bad hackers.
Evil hackers.
Evil hackers, yeah. They have a Black Hat convention. Just an FYI.
Right.
A Black Hat convention is for the evil guys, and then they have a White Hat convention for the good guys.
Right. They all have
capes.
So
anyway, yeah, they all have probably white hats and who knows what.
Yeah.
But anyway, that missing link in the security chain could have cost Hillary Clinton's the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
The thousands of leaked emails released by Russian hackers played a pivotal role during the 2016 election.
Yes, because how they were talking about their constituency was pretty unflattering.
Right. And the resulting controversy contributed to her defeat by Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
The hackers gained access to prominent officials within the Clinton campaign, as well as the Democratic National Committee, through a process called spear phishing.
Right, with a PH.
PH, yep. In which hackers use carefully crafted emails. And then, you know, we've got to talk about this spear phishing because it's big.
It is big, and they're not even that carefully crafted.
Well, yeah, some of them are so convincing. I mean, you know, even guys like us. But what we know is that even if it's a legitimate email, don't click on the link in the email.
Right.
Use the shortcut you created for your account with that company.
Right. Don't go in and use a link.
Don't use a link ever, ever, ever. Right. And then...
So they use spear phishing to trick people like Panetta. What was his name?
Panetta.
One of the P's. I can't remember his name anymore.
Podesta.
Was it? And they gave he gave all his account information because they said, "Hey, your password's expired. Please put this in here."
That's not quite true.
No.
No, because he was suspicious.
Yes, that's right.
So he called his IT guy.
Yep.
And his IT guy said, "No, don't do that." Okay.
Right.
But it probably would be a good idea for you to change your password. So he used the link in the email to change his password. Which brought him to a fake site where he entered his credentials with his password, which was, what is it, password one?
Yeah, something
with
really
a capital
stupid.
P? Come on. Yeah. Give me a break. Anyway.
So the Obama campaign used these keys. So what these keys do is they offer you a two-factor connection. So along with a password, the key has to be physically present and connected to the computer you're using or your smartphone. So no hackers, even if they had your credentials, could get into any account at all, even if they had your password, because the second factor, this physical key from Yubico, would have to be there. And the hacker wouldn't have it, so the Russians wouldn't be in there. That's why Google has never been hacked, because they use these keys.
I was at a client site last week where I had to have the client test their application.
Mm-hmm.
In order for them to log into their application, as soon as they logged in, they had to pull out their smartphone.
Right.
And they got a verification, and they had to click OK on their smartphone before they could get into the application, which...
That's a step. That's a good thing, but I'm going to talk about after you talk about what you're talking about. As yours, the Yubico keys are the best way to do two-factor versus your smartphone. So go ahead and finish up your story.
So anyway, a security key is a useful tool if that happens, since potential hackers would need both your password and that physical key itself to log into your accounts.
Right.
Google has boasted that since it adopted security keys, none of its employees have fallen victim to account takeovers.
Right.
Google plans to start offering a device it's built, the Titan security key, to the public sometime in the next few months. People who have a lot to lose, a lot at stake, those are the ones who are starting to adopt our products, said Aaron Svard.
You say that and make it easy for you to say. Yes, Yubico has got a good solution as far as two-factor goes. So, all right. So, the Obama campaign was they were working with the folks at Google so that they could actually get all of our data so they could target us directly. So, they were working with Google to figure out who to target in 2012, and that's why they knew about these keys.
The head of Google like...
Yeah, a big friend of Obama.
Yeah. Big friend of Obama. Yeah. Okay.
But when the other campaigns do it with Facebook, it's a huge conspiracy. But it's good that they use that technology.
So high-profile individuals, people on Twitter who have a lot of followers, or YouTubers with millions of followers.
Right.
So the extra security measure likely would have protected Clinton campaign manager John Podesta's email from being hacked.
It was Podesta. Okay.
Yes. Jeff Link, the regional IT director for Obama's campaign in 2008, said they did not use the security keys at that time.
Right.
So they didn't use them in 2008, but they did use them in 2012 because it was too early. Aaron Svard originally mentioned that both Obama's campaigns used the security keys, but that the company later clarified that it did not offer the tool in 2008.
Sounds good. So I want to bring up the next article because that is a good way to secure your systems, because here – in this article, this is from Krebs on Security, one of my favorite security bloggers. He's got an article called Hang Up on Mobile in the Name of Security. There's an entrepreneur of virtual currency, fake money. This is a fake money guy. He's an investor who is suing AT&T for the fact that he lost $224 of real dollars that were fake out of his account. So they want $224 million from AT&T because what happened was he had something called SIM swapping. So this guy, the bad guys knew he was a heavy investor in fake money and cryptocurrency. And they figured out that he had an AT&T phone. So like Bob mentioned, the client where you get a text message or something to your phone, he had that on his account, his crypto account. So he would have to log in as a user, and then his phone would give him a little text saying, "Hey, is this you?" And he'd type in the number and they'd let you in. Well, with SIM swapping, you need a bad guy on the inside at AT&T in this case, and the bad guy was able to kill his phone and move his SIM card to the bad guy's phone. So as long as he had the credentials for the cryptocurrency account, the text message went to the bad guy. And he's suing AT&T My point here is, it's not AT&T's fault you used their phone as your second factor. AT&T is not coming out and saying, buy a mobile phone so you can use it for a security tool. I mean, the AT&T guys that are selling you the phones in the stores were selling sneakers a week ago. There's nothing about what selling a phone that should be necessarily connected to security. It was a good two-factor idea, but the ability to actually swap the SIM and kill the SIM in your phone, Bob, and have me take it over on a different phone so that when I log in as you, you don't get the text. Your phone goes dead, literally, and the bad guy in Saskatchewan.
They even get my phone calls.
They even get your phone calls. They get everything now. They get your text, and they log in, and they transfer the money out of your crypto account, or they transfer the money out of your retirement account, yeah, or they transfer the money out of your bank account. So two-factor on cell phones using texting is weak. If you're a known target, if you're a general person, you know, dealing with, you know, security.
So if you have, let's say, an iPhone or an Android that's encrypted.
Doesn't matter. Because it's the SIM card. You can kill the SIM. The phone number then gets ported to a different SIM number. So you're saying this SIM is bad. So your SIM, the little SIM chip in there, your AT&T is going to turn that SIM off and turn it on over here.
So that SIM card actually has the keys on board.
It has the phone number. The identification of the phone is on that SIM card.
Well, where does the encryption?
The encryption's on the hard drive. Who cares? But no one's getting your data off your hard drive. You only want the text to go to a different device.
So the SIM isn't encrypted.
Right. Well, that doesn't even matter if it is encrypted. They're able to go into the account at AT&T and say, Bob SIM number 12345678W2 is dead. Move it over to this SIM, 12345678W8. And now the phone rings over here. Your phone still has all your data on it, and it's protected and encrypted. You can't get into your phone, but you also aren't going to get a phone call. And that's what's happening in SIM swapping. So these Yubico keys is purely the best way because it has to be physically there. You need that key on your body or connected to the laptop in order for that second factor to actually happen. And the bad guys cannot break that. So I'm going to put a link up here. You really need to need to look at this article about two-factor and SIM swapping if you're using your smartphone and you've got lots of dollars connected to it as far as the two-factor authentication. We're going to step out for a quick break. We got three lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. I've listened to this theme song all summer long. Chuck. My kids just binged it all summer long. All right, we're going to be here at 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. You guys are nice enough to join us so far, so let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to David in Wallingford first. Hey, David.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show. Always good advice.
Thanks.
All right, got what I hope is a simple question for you today. I had some support issues with my email, which was an old email system through SBC Global, which is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I connected up with Frontier, and it ran great the last couple of years. Then we had a password problem, and there's nobody who could figure it out for several minutes, an hour on the phone.
Yeah.
Finally got back into it, but having intermittent problems. So what I want to do basically is migrate my email onto a new system in the quickest way possible and get rid of the old email address.
Okay. So when you say new system, is it going to be a new provider, or is it with Frontier, or who's it going to be with?
Well, you know, it could be Frontier, but I'm open to a new provider. I'm open to whatever will preserve it in the best way, so I don't encounter these problems down the line.
Okay.
Even if I have to get my own domain name.
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, SBC Global. It's funny. I was at an account or a prospect in Plainville who was still using SBC Global. Yep. I told him at any moment that things can fall apart. SBC Global's been gone for, I don't know, a decade and a half.
It's gone, yeah.
Yeah, so he's still eating his email to his business, but I digress. So the idea here is if you want to download your mail, you need to have some sort of mail application. So are you using Outlook for your email? What are you using?
Yeah, it's Outlook.
Okay, good. So your mail is downloaded locally on your computer. It is there locally?
Yep.
All right. Now it's just a matter of choosing a mail provider. So I actually had a little homework from the listeners asking of alternative mail providers that are out there where you're not getting it quote unquote for free and you're not worried about them reading your email and all that fun stuff.
Right.
One of the ones I seem to be looking at more and more is a Canadian company called Hushmail. And you can look at that service, and you're going to pay annually for your mailbox. But it's your mailbox, and it's not going to be looked at or read. There's not going to be any marketing to you. It's a secure email system.
Okay.
I would recommend you look at it. It's Canadian. I haven't found any American systems that do this yet. There's other ones out there. There's one in Sweden that's pretty popular as well. I think it's called Proton Mail or something like that. But look at the Hush Mail as an alternative. Then all it is a matter of getting a mailbox, and you can be at whatever domain you want to be. You know, you can go to GoDaddy and pay for, you know, David@Wallingford.com. Well, Wallingford is probably owned, but you know what I'm saying? You could make your own domain through GoDaddy and set up a mailbox at Hushmail at that domain, and all of a sudden your mail is coming the way you want it forever. You're going to pay for it, though, and there's nothing wrong with paying for it. The free stuff is the stuff that causes so much issues.
Right, right. So I really do have to look kind of like, I guess it's a modest cost monthly is what they charge, I would bet, right?
It is very modest. I can't think of the price right off the top of my head, but it is very pricey. And we'll put a link, right. Very cheap. We'll put a link up for you.
And someone mentioned, thank you, I'll look at the link. And someone mentioned Wix, W-I-X, as a vendor. Is that something you guys know about?
I think they're probably a website. I think I've heard them as a web host.
Oh, it's a web host. Okay. Probably have to buy the website, and then they'll probably attach email. But
yeah, it's a domain. Yeah, that's a domain hosting site. So yes, you buy the site, and GoDaddy too. You could pay for a GoDaddy mailbox within your domain name. You can also, again, go through Frontier and get a quote unquote free one, because that's your internet provider, I assume.
Yeah, but that might lead to the same problem in a year or two. So
exactly, they could be purchased by somebody else. Yep.
Exactly, yeah. And that's what I'm trying to avoid, because I kind of knew when we lost the SBC Global name, someday something would go wrong, and it went terribly wrong last week. So.
Yeah, and the other issue too, David, is that for businesses and companies that are dealing with changes of those at email addresses, you know, if you're a town, let's say. You know, a town, and for some reason, the IT provider, you know, registered your domain name for you, and then when you fired him, he kept it, right? He kept that domain name for his own, and now the town has to change all of its stationery. It has to change. It has to make all the security connections it made with email addresses at the old address to a new one. So all that has to get changed. It's a very expensive problem if you don't own your own mailbox. And we've come across this with other unscrupulous IT providers, and you know, for you, you'd have the same problem. So if you can just own David at and pay for it, you're done.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to, if it's a modest amount, I mean, with everything else we pay for and the exorbitant prices, I think it's a modest investment to own it and keep it and not have it interfered with, you know, 5 years down the line.
Correct. There's always the risk, though, that where you own it and if you own your domain, you're good, right? You'll always be at David, wherever you're at. But the mailbox could change, right? That company in Canada could go out of business someday, and you still may have to migrate your mailbox, but that your address still will stay the same as long as you maintain your domain.
Right. Okay.
So keep that in mind.
Great. Thank you for the advice, and I will keep in mind that I will look up the Hushmail just to see what it's about consider that as well.
Yeah. Very good, David.
All right. You guys have a great day. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye. We just checked it out. Hushmail is about $50 a year, I guess, for that service if you try it. The other benefit of that mail system is, I guess, it's encrypted. They've been back and forth, though. If you're doing something illicit on any of these systems, law enforcement's going to go and ask them for your email. And back in 2007, I guess, they were asked to offer up some email boxes for people. And that's kind of pretty much anywhere. Wherever your mail is going to be, law enforcement, if they want to access it, they're going to figure out how to get access to it, unless you bleach bit it and wipe it clean, and you'll lose it.
If you don't own the server, you can't do that.
Right, exactly. if it's just yoga appointments and wedding plans, yeah, right, Joey. You can use the old letter in the mail. You could be like Jimmy Carter, use paper and pencil and write your letter, and it'll get there eventually. So,
I don't think I've ever heard of any crime family going down because they didn't put the right stamp on their letter.
Well, however, it becomes a federal issue when you go across state lines, right? So the moment you mail that illicit email that somebody, then you're in trouble.
So you need like a network of mail hubs.
We're not black hats here. We are white hats here, Joey.
We're just trying to prevent that from happening, so we're giving ideas to law enforcement.
Exactly.
That might already be thought of by
they're way ahead of us, I hope. We're going to step out for a break at the bottom of the hour here. Feel free to get online. We have three lines open for you. This is Computer Talk, 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we talk about will be posted live on ComputerTalkWithTab.com. Yep, the name of the show.com. We'll be back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We have three lines open. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we'll do our best to help you out with computer problems, comments, and concerns. And under the concern thing, Joey and I were just talking about technology. Joey Burgoyne is sitting in as our producer today. It's always great to have him because I think when we first started with Computer Talk, you know, a decade plus ago, you were like our eighth producer back then.
I was Windows ME.
Yeah, you were the he's the Millennium Edition through Vista. And well, we were talking about smart speakers. Now again, I think they are misnamed. They really should be called smart microphones.
Air quote smart on the radio.
Well, there's that. So Joey, you're kind of explaining to me that we're gonna make all these people's smart microphones go off now when we start talking about this, but kind of tell me about what's going on with 1080 and how Alexa works and who owns the word listen and what's going on.
Well, there was a big push. We were running liners coming into August about, you know, tune to listen or play. It comes down to keywords.
Right.
So if you had an Alexa device and you were saying, Alexa, listen to WTIC News Talk 1080, it does not work now.
Right.
Because the new streaming platform we're on of radio.com, which is a fantastic ad. I'll plug that one.
Yeah.
Well, the radio.com app uses the keyword play.
Mm-hmm.
Another company uses the keyword listen.
And they own it. They own the word.
They own the word. Another company owns the word tune. Tune to or tune in.
It's insane.
So if you have an Alexa
device.
On the
Alexa system.
Alexa system. Google, that's a whole other animal.
Yeah.
So if you have Alexa, it's Alexa, play WTIC News Talk 1080. Or
right.
Play WTIC 1080.
Right.
But you have to use the keyword play.
Yeah.
And it'll pull it from radio.com.
Uh-huh.
It's not a skill you have to install. It's on the back end. It understands what you're looking for.
Yeah, but you can use the skill, too.
Use the skill, yes.
Yeah, you can configure it. But my whole point with this would be, this is insane. I mean, when I bought a radio, I could just tune it to whatever I needed to. Now, depending on what ecosphere I'm stuck with, different companies own different words. It's like if my microwave would only pop Jiffy Pop and not pop Pop Secret because it didn't have the right button for it.
But to play devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you say, Alexa, listen to AM 1080.
Yeah.
There's other AM 1080s in the country. So everyone has to be able to distinguish themselves somehow because now it's a global listening audience.
Right.
Where if you had a radio in your car.
You're only going to listen to the area.
You're most likely not going to catch 1080 out of Texas.
That's true.
So because it's and we're seeing people listen.
Oh, yeah.
The streaming
I get calls from all over the country now, which is really cool. But I think that the technology needs to be smarter and not so.
It's getting better.
Yeah.
But Google, like I said, hasn't jumped on the bandwagon. So if you have a Google Home device, right now it can't find us. According to Google, we don't exist on the airwaves of the internet. But you can listen to the podcast. So if you have a Google device, you know, use your OK giant search engine. I'm not going to say because my phone's going to wake up.
Yeah.
Listen to the latest episode of Computer Talk with Tab.
Right, boom.
It'll pull up the podcast feed. So if you miss
but
a
you
show,
can use the word listen on Google. You can't use the word listen on Alexa.
Correct.
And on Siri, you can't use anything.
Siri's like, Siri just gets all confused. She hides under an umbrella.
You have to use a Russian word for listen.
You got to install
Kaspersky
and
Slushy.
Slushy. Got to say Slushy Computer Talk with Tab on Siri. Okay.
So it's a smart thing that makes your head go numb.
How hard is it to get the radio anymore? Mm-hmm. It's a freaking Rube Goldberg. I just want to listen to the radio, man.
Don't use the word listen.
Play WTX. Sorry. Oh, I'm so confused. Play, listen. I don't know. It just seems very discriminatory. All right. Thanks, Joey. Appreciate the info. We're going to go to your calls again. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And let's go to Jim in Bristol next. Hey, Jim, what's up?
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, I got a bad connection.
All right.
Hey, real quick, is there a way that you got a recording? Let's say I'm listening to your show. Is there a way to, I want to convert that to text, you know, to download it to in writing, in text. Is there a way to do that?
Yeah, I mean, there are tools out there that'll convert audio to text for you. I'd have to find one for you as a link so that you don't have to, so you have someone with a hearing issue or impairment.
Right.
Yeah. I'm sure there's probably ways to convert podcasts to text. I'm sure there's services out there that'll do that. And but I have to find it for you, Jim. I don't know it off the top of my head. But I'm sure they exist, and we can put a link up on Computer Talk once we find it.
Okay.
So that you can share it with whoever's having an issue.
Yeah. So like, you know, let's say listening to you, for example, or like, I don't know, there's something, a meeting on being brought, it's on your computer, you can watch it on, I don't know, I'm not into this stuff.
Like closed caption or something like that?
Yeah, so what I'm saying, and then, so can you... You know, some of the I want to record, not record it, but I want to download this 3 minutes of this meeting.
Yep.
Down into that's what I'm. You know, I don't want to confuse you. Because I'm confused.
Well, there are definitely podcast transcripts, speech to text conversions that you can do. It looks like Apple has it kind of maybe not Audacity. Audacity does it, but I can find some answers for you here. But if you're looking for ways to do it, like through your cable television service, where you're watching a meeting, like a town meeting or
something like that, right?
They should be doing closed captioning. I don't know though if they then record the meeting and then make it available to be played later. I guess it would depend on your town. You may have to ask. If you're in Bristol, you may have to ask the town of Bristol or wherever your person that you're talking about lives if they do that for you.
Yeah, but it's not all. I just used that as an example.
Oh.
Let's say, I don't know, TIC or you go on iHeartRadio and there's another.
Yeah.
You know, another. Oh, gee, I want to. When this comes up after the break, I want to get this 4 minutes of. I'm just an example so you understand.
Yeah.
I just want to get this 4 minutes of what comes up after the break and get it. Into print. That's what I'm asking.
So you're saying before I talk about it, or before the host talks about whatever they're going to talk about, you want to know what they're going to talk about ahead of time?
Yeah. Let's say you just, you know, let's say for example, and I'm using you because, all right. So we're gonna step out for a break, but when we come back,
yeah,
we're gonna Joey's gonna be our guest
yeah.
right after the break.
Right.
And I wanna it's a stupid example.
No, no.
And but, I wanna good. I wanna get that.
Right.
You know, so that three you talk to Joey for let's say 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, can I get it down into text?
Right.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, I think there are services out there that do that. Services for the
time here, but
yeah, no.
So then you'll post this on.
I'll try to find something that hopefully answers your question. And if anybody's out there who already is using this type of technology, you know, feel free to email us at gethelp@tabinc.com and let us know about it because I'm sure it exists already.
Right.
There's probably tools out there where you have it running. You can actually have the tool listening to the program and it'll actually start. Transcribing it for you the same way a voicemail can be transcribed into text in a lot of voice over IP systems these days.
Yeah, that's right. You get a voicemail. Can I? Right. There's another example.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a voicemail. Can I get it down to text?
Yep. Let me see what I can do for you there.
All right, so
Jim.
I would go back and look on.
On the computertalkwithtab.com, the name of the show.com,
okay.
which
yeah,
also
okay.
works.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, Jim, you're welcome. We'll do our best for you.
Sure. Bye.
Bye-bye. I'm sure that exists out there. I'm sure in this 50,000-watt audience, there's somebody that's already saying, oh, yeah, I use this tool or I use that tool. And there's tons of them out there that I've already seen. Verbatim is a company that does it. There's some automatic tools out there that seem to do it. I'm sure it's out there for folks who are hearing impaired who want to listen to the radio. And Colin McEnroe was doing some of his shows over an NPR using a signer where he would use Facebook to sign. Now, I think the text going from audio to text seems a little more straightforward. But, hey, it was a neat way for him to kind of help the folks who are hearing impaired, quote unquote, listen to the radio. We're going to step out for a quick break. We got two lines ringing. Feel free to get online. We have a couple lines open for you. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. picking all the guests this morning. I love it. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Lines are ringing. Feel free to get online. A couple lines open for you. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. I have found a few answers to that last caller's question. There are some tools that help you convert podcasts to text. Trying to find one that's live seems to be harder, but there are definitely tools out there that'll convert podcasts. So if you had the podcast and maybe you play it, and then the tool in between will listen and then transcribe it. But I haven't. There's a bunch of them out there. Hopefully, I can hear from somebody out there that is using this type of technology already and let us know how it works and how well it works to automatically transcribe to text the audio that it's being pumped out. But so far, so good. So, Bob, do you have anything else you want to talk about news-wise as Joey gets the calls lined up?
Well, we were talking about cryptocurrency.
Yeah, fake money.
Yeah, fake money. Yeah. So a judge out in San Francisco sets bail at $750,000 in cryptocurrency for alleged EA hacker.
Oh, really?
So you know what is it? The game?
EA.
EA has like FIFA 2018.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hacked them?
Well, yeah, this guy, let me just read it. A San Francisco judge has set bail in cryptocurrency for an alleged hacker.
Mm-hmm.
Magistrate Judge Jacqueline Corley last week set bail at $750,000 in cryptocurrency,
right,
such as Bitcoin or Ethereum, for a Serbian man accused of hacking video game company Electronic Arts, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office.
All right.
Cryptocurrency is often associated with ransomware and criminal activities on the web.
Yeah.
But it's gained more mainstream standing as more retailers begin accepting cryptocurrency. Don't ask me where you cash it in.
Well, I can't believe this judge is even considering. Do you think they even have the courthouse capable of even figuring out how to
whether
accept
or not
it?
The transaction's been done?
Yeah. I mean,
since it's supposed to be encrypted and untraceable?
They've just recently figured out how to mandated PDFs for all court submittals here in Connecticut. I mean, just imagine how hard it would be for them to actually accept the cash.
So this likely isn't the first time a U.S. judge has allowed cryptocurrency for bail, Assistant District Attorney Abraham Simmons told the Palo Alto Daily Post.
Yeah.
Judges can order just about anything for bail, Simmons said, adding that...
How about a peck of pickled peppers?
The point is to get the defendant to show up in court.
Yeah.
The man, Martin Marcich, is accused of hacking EA's internal computer network, according to an affidavit from FBI Special Agent Justin Griggs.
Yeah.
He allegedly gained access to copies of the game FIFA 2018.
And distributed it?
And as well as to in-game currency packs, and then offered them for sale on black market sites, dark web.
The dark web.
EA suffered a loss of approximately $324,000 due to the activity, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office.
Mm-hmm.
If convicted, Marcich, which is obviously a black hat hacker, could face maximum...
if you weren't sure.
Yeah. A maximum sentence of 5 years jail time, a fine of $250,000, seems low to me, and financial responsibility for the hacking damage.
Good.
And Judge Corley and EA didn't immediately respond to requests for comment.
Interesting. So, yeah, so she wanted to make it hard for the guy, because I'm sure the court would be like, you want to pay us in what?
Well,
I mean, there's no way that the other side is going to be, he's going to say, she made me pay in crypto.
So
the guys are going to be like, I don't know what to do with that. Send me a gift card.
We're holding you in jail, right?
Right.
Okay. We're going to set your bail at $750,000 in cryptocurrency.
Money.
But since you're a hacker, we're going to deny you access to a computer.
That's a good point, too. You can't have your computer, your phone. Ooh, that seems, I doubt that's the case, but that would be interesting.
Well, you know, that's what they do. A lot of these hackers are forbidden from ever touching a computer again.
Yeah. I'm sure that works really well. As we wait for your calls, four lines wide open. I'm not sure. Joey, are you answering their calls when they come in, answering their questions, and then hanging up? Is that what you're doing over there, Joey?
No. Well, I was helping a lady in Sullington with the whole Alexa thing.
Oh, my gosh. They're calling. They're getting IT advice from our producer. We're in trouble now.
Well, it's the whole, you got to play WTIC News Talk 1080.
Yeah, she's got it.
Now she's good to go.
All right.
So the first time she got confused because it was, you know, playing WTIC News Talk 1080 on radio.com in the new or music category.
Yikes. That was the whole command?
Well, it has to learn a skill in the back end. Once it learns that skill, it's Alexa, play WTIC News Talk 1080, and there it goes.
Until they lose that, until the skill gets purchased by some other
company.
Yeah. All right. Well, the phone's ringing. Stop answering the questions. Joey's answered all your questions before it gets to us. That makes for a boring show. We have to start talking about our kids. While we wait for your calls, 800-966-WTIC-522-WTIC. Bob, he's a car fan, so he has these articles that he likes to talk about with cars, and he found this one that he brought to my attention this morning. U.S. Senator is proposing a bill offering a $3,500 discount on American-made cars. Guys, come on. Enough with the darn incentives. It has to do with taxes and how American-owned companies get, you know, a huge tax break when they sell their products overseas. And that's how he's going to pay for the fact that he wants to give every American car maker a $3,500 discount. Now, just so you know, car buyers of the world, you're not getting all $3,500. Any kind of subsidy, most of it goes to the manufacturer. So he's kissing the heinies of the American manufacturers. And these guys need to stop doing this garbage.
Well, why are we allowing foreign car manufacturers?
It's not foreign. It's an American one. No, that's foreign.
Further down in the article.
I read it. It's American. It's an American manufacturer who has a foreign
If they have
presence.
A price point below a certain point,
yeah,
they don't have to pay. Their prices is zero.
There are zero American taxes. It's the same thing as when Apple builds their stuff in Ireland.
My Hyundai had a Made in Indiana sticker.
Right. We had a bunch of American parts in the Hyundai. But yeah, what happens is they get to build their components, like Apple, right? Apple was building all this stuff in Ireland. The EU now is telling Ireland you got to hit them for millions and millions, maybe even billions of dollars in taxes because Ireland was giving them a break. And Apple did it over there because they didn't want to repatriate the money back here in America and pay the heavy tax it would cost to repatriate it. Now with the taxing changes that are out there thanks to the new tax break that with the new administration, they will repatriate that money coming over at a lower tax rate. But this is another ding-a-ling senator offering a goodie that is our tax dollars to buy an American vehicle. And half of that subsidy, if not more, will end up going to the manufacturer of the American vehicle.
To make a vehicle people want.
Exactly. I mean, I'm all for American vehicles. Fine. But again, why are we giving away goodies of our taxes like this? Of course, folks like Tesla are on the list too. You know.
So why are our taxes so high?
Exactly. So Bob wanted to bring this up, so I figured I would bring it while we're waiting for your call. Uh-oh, our resident groupie's on the line. Danny, you there, Danny? What's going on?
I'm here.
What's up?
This probably won't surprise you, but I heard in the show you were talking earlier about SPCglobal.net.
Yeah.
That doesn't exist anymore.
Well, they don't exist anymore, but email addresses still do.
Oh, okay, because that's my wife's email address is SPCglobal.net.
Yeah.
So she has a problem or a potential problem?
Yeah, that company, how long has that been gone?
Oh, I don't know. A long time.
How much does she pay for that email address?
It's absolutely free.
So when do you think they're going to say, you know what, Danny, I'm flipping this off? The problem is people connect all sorts of services to that mailbox, right? She could have her financial stuff connected to it.
Oh, we don't know. We don't do any. It's just straightly emails.
Okay. But you could, like most people do.
If that were my email, Danny, what I would do is set up an autoresponder to say that my email address is changing. Please send your emails to another email address. And you could set up another account with somebody that's hopefully going to be in business a while.
Right.
And then the people who send email to her at that address over time would learn that she has a new email account and start using that. And eventually you could get away from the SBC before it goes away, hopefully.
Yeah, it's going to go away. The last caller had issues with just getting a password recovery on his old SBC Global, so
he's
just
done.
Yeah,
I'm sure she hasn't got the slightest idea. That's been so far back.
Right. Anything like that, SNET, any of these companies that don't exist anymore when you're getting a free mailbox
app. Well, I always wondered when I see her email, like, it dawned on me that, they've been gone. Why is that email address SPC Global?
Yeah, they're still offering it as a quote-unquote courtesy. I mean, Frontier, they've all been purchased, and I think the owner is really Frontier.
Even more frightening.
Well, I'm just worried about your mailbox.
I heard you say somebody might buy Frontier, and then they'll be gone.
Well, yeah,
I don't think anybody's ever going to buy Frontier.
Who knows, Danny?
Yeah, can you put a link up for that so I can have her look it up to that autoresponder thing so can save her trouble before... Hey, and real quick, my buddy Elon Musk, or our favorite guy, we got to say a prayer for him. He's got problems.
I just can't wait till he and Trump on Twitter go after each other.
Oh,
I mean,
gosh.
It's going to be a never-ending battle. He's losing his marbles over there, Elon is.
Yeah, well, I guess, Ambien to sleep and
not
recreational drugs.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got to go, Danny.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.